My prayer for every one of you men this morning. I'm not on, Brother James. There you go. My prayer for every one of you men this morning is that someday, somewhere in your Christian life, God gives you something to shout about like Brother Tommy just did. You say, I'd never shout out like that in church. Well, you let the Lord bring you through what the Lord's brought him through. And you may do more than shout. You may run laps around the building. You tell me about it when the Lord heals your daughter of cancer. You tell me about it when the Lord gives you a grandbaby that they said would not be possible. Amen. And without medical intervention. Well, hallelujah goes right there. We make no apologies for old time worship. Amen. You can take your Bibles, be turning to Luke chapter number 15. Here's what my prayer is. My prayer is that old-fashioned Sunday will be just like any other Sunday. Amen. We're going to sing songs from that old hymn book. We're going to preach this old King James Bible. And we're going to shout about the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. We might just dress a little different and play the part and talk about it. Amen. About old-time religion. Amen. Hey, you got to admit, that crowd back yonder had something this crowd don't have. They had a faith. There is a poem on the back of your bulletin about the faith of our fathers, those who went before us. They had something that this generation is missing. Amen. They had no choice but to have faith. You see, they put a seed in the ground, and they had to trust God for rain and for sunshine to make that seed grow, or they did not eat. You don't have that. You have food stamps and Walmart. Can I get a witness right there? If you can't grow a crop, the government will feed you. We got McDonald's. You can get a Whopper, not a Whopper, but you can get a Big Mac meal and biggie size that thing and have it right there in 5 minutes in your hand. We don't know what faith is all about. Amen. But our forefathers had something, and whatever it was they had, I want a little bit of it. Amen. Anyway, Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to read some familiar scripture this morning, hopefully show you something you had never thought about. In Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 11. And I'm going to read the whole story. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. How many of you are there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible said, and he said, this is talking about the Lord Jesus, he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said, it's always that brat child, isn't it? Amen. Said, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In other words, he partied it away. In verse number 14, the Bible said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, the Bible says, when he came to himself. How many of you remember when you came to yourself? Say amen right there. When you realized where you was, wasn't a good place. When you realize that where you were at, there was somewhere better, and you'd been somewhere better before and couldn't figure out how you got to where you were, but all you wanted to do was go back to where you was before. Does that make sense? He came to himself. He realized where he was at, realized the mess he was in. Now, here's what his thoughts were. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, in other words, my daddy's slaves are doing better than I am. He said, I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, hallelujah, his father saw him, had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We know this story as the story of the what? Prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son. What's a prodigal? That's one who has went away from everything that he has been taught. That's one who has went away from what he knows in his heart is right. But this morning, I don't want to focus on the boy so much as I do the father. Had it not been for this father, we wouldn't have this story. Had it not been for this father, we would not have had this ending. This story starts out bad, but this story ends well. And it's not because a son made a decision to come home. It's because a father made a decision to forgive. Hallelujah. Amen. Couple of thoughts before we get started this morning. I'll get you out in good order. It's 5 to 12. We'll be out of here in a little bit, okay? And I'll pay attention to the time. I know you need to spend time with your dad this afternoon, and you ought to do that. But listen, we ought to take some time to consider the Word of God this morning. I thought about this morning. I was laying in the bed just musing over this thing in my mind. And I thought about that far country. A far country, that'd be further than Douglasville, I'd imagine, wouldn't you? I figured that'd be farther than Temple or Dallas. But, you know, I've heard preachers throughout the years preach, oh, he saw the lights of the bright city. Wasn't no such thing as a bright city back then. They wasn't no Las Vegas. You couldn't see that city for miles and miles and miles away. For the most part, it was a dark city. If you think about it, it was a sinful city. It was a party town. It wasn't no neon. All they had was oil lamps. He couldn't see that city from far away. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Twitter. He didn't have television commercials or magazine articles to read. And I thought about how did this young man, and I just thought this morning, and we're going to bump this and go on and talk about the father. How did this young man know of this far country? He knew where he was going when he left. He was going to a place he had heard about. Dads, I want to say this. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I just want to give it to you. If we're not careful, and God convicted me about it laying in my bed this morning, I have the privilege of pastoring some of my old buddies. And if we're not careful, we'll sit around and reminisce about the old times and the stuff we used to do, and we laugh about it and have a good time talking about it, and we make it sound good to our children. Now, every one of us, I got friends here this morning that we grew up together, and we know stuff about each other and things about one another's past. And if we're not careful, we'll get in front of our children. We'll talk about, man, you remember when we did this? Man, you remember when we did that? And that boy standing there going, wow. Y'all listen to me. Hey, every one of us has got a past. But we ought not to glorify that past. And we ought to not make that past look more glamorous than the life we live now in Christ. Amen. And I'm afraid I'm guilty of that. And I'll have to say to my son and to my daughters, I apologize for making what Daddy used to be sound better than what Daddy is today. Amen. I'd much rather be a child of God and a man of God than a party animal somewhere. Amen. I'd much rather be behind the desk of God than behind the bars of the jail this morning. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. If we're not careful, we'll glamorize what we once were. I'm guilty of it. Raise your hand if you're guilty of it. Come on, be honest this morning. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't no cameras in here. If we're not careful, we'll talk about that. Oh, what we ought to do is magnify what God has done in our heart. Whether that older brother might have visited that city and come back, we don't know. Might have had some cousins, might have had some buddies. And ain't no telling where he heard, but he had heard about the party and the great time of that great city. But what he found out was at the end of that party was a heartache and a bellyache and living with swine. And for some reason, this boy had to get there to realize what he really had. Some of us sit here this morning saved by grace, and we haven't a clue what we have. Some of us stand in this place like me this morning, and many of you, we've been saved for a long time. And we just simply forgot what God has saved us out of, what God has saved us from, and what God has saved us to. And we get to the place where we're comfortable in our Christianity. Amen. But I want to talk about the Father in the story this morning. They sang that song a while ago. I have a Father who can. I just bring you a message this morning right quick. I have a Father who can. Let me give you several thoughts about this Father and we'll go to the house. I want to say to you, number one, he was a lingering Father. He was a lingering Father. The Bible said this boy came to himself, and here's what he said. I will arise. He made a decision. He made a decision. How many of you ever said, I'm getting back to God? I'm getting on that altar, I'm confessing my sins, and I'm going to do my best to do right tomorrow. What would you do if you came and the Father wasn't there? Could have been that Father was so disheartened and so discouraged, and everything he saw on the farm and everything he saw in the house reminded him of his lost son, and they stuck a for sale sign out in the yard and said, honey, we got to get away from these bad memories. No, he didn't. He said, honey, we're going to linger right here, and we're going to stay right where we were when that boy walked down the road. We're not going to leave. We're going to stay right here where he'll know where we are. Woo! Somebody say amen. Ain't you glad you got a lingering Father this morning? You've got one who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm glad the Lord is a lingering Father and not a leaving Father. Amen. Give it some thought. There's been a time or two he ought to left you. Amen. There's been a time or two he ought to left you. And there's been a time or two I thought he did. But I realized he is there all along. Amen. Amen. Somebody said he lingered around the prince going out of town. Dry country, that boy's footprints in the sand, going out that long dirt drive. That daddy probably stood in them footprints every day and said, oh, the day that I get to see him coming back this direction. Amen. Hey, the Father sees where you went away. Hey, sometimes we don't even know where we get off, but the Father knows exactly where we started off course, and he knows exactly where we started to leave. And I wonder how many times he goes back to that point and says, this is where you left. This is where you're going to have to come back to. Amen. Amen. Somebody said he is lingering around the porch, Brother Atkins. So somebody said, how do you know that? No doubt that old man sat on that porch every day, Brother Charles. Amen, brother. Maybe he had old split bottom rocker. He'd rock back and forth. Yeah, he'd cup his hand over his eyes to block the sun.
Yes, sir.
He's looking down that road. Yeah. He'd say, maybe today will be the day.
Amen.
Maybe today will be the day. He's going to get enough of that old world one of these days. It's going to beat him down to nothing. And I hope to God I've put enough in his heart. I hope to God we've raised him well enough to know he can always come back home. Maybe today will be the day. Somebody said, how do you know he is on the porch? Well, when the boy came home. When the boy came home, the Bible said, but when he was yet a great way... When he was a great way off, the Father saw him. I can just see the boy kicking up dust as he's coming down the road, wandering in his old filthy rags. I wonder if Daddy will have me. I wonder if Daddy will even. I wonder if he's disowned me. I wonder if I'm no longer part of the family. Or maybe if he'll just let me be a servant or be a slave. And he's trying to wipe the gum and the grime and the vomit and the pig slop off of him. And boy, there's no doubt in his mind there's reservations about seeing his Father. But yet when he was a great way off, Daddy's looking. Hey, honey, come out here. Hey, somebody coming down the road. The closer he gets, he realizes that's my boy. And he runs to meet him and he falls on his neck and he kisses him. I'm glad this morning you and I have a lingering Father. Every time I've walked away from the will of God, do you know where I found him? Right where I left him. Brother Freddie, he's never moved. He's never wavered one bit. He's always been the most one constant thing in my entire life. I'm telling you, the Lord is a lingering Father this morning. And all he's doing is lingering where you left, waiting for you to come back. Amen. He's a lingering Father. But he said, did he linger around the prince going out of town? Did he linger around the ports where he saw the boy coming home? But at supper table every night, he lingered around the place where the boy sat.
Yeah. Amen.
Every night, he said, set his place at the table. No doubt that cocky older brother said, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You might as well give up. I'm glad I serve a God that don't never give up. Yeah. Somebody say amen right there. I wonder how many of you thought it's over, I'll never have another shot at living for God, and he took you back again just like you was, picked you up, wiped off your sin, put you on your feet again. Somebody ought to lift their hands toward heaven this morning and say, God, I'm glad I have a lingering Father this morning. It amazes me that God puts up with me.
Amen.
Not only was he a lingering Father, but he was a looking Father. He was a looking Father. He had to be looking in anticipation for his son to come home. That boy's homecoming did not catch him by surprise. He saw him before he ever got there. And by the way, the Lord sees you. You say, but I'm not coming down the road. Yeah, you are. You're sitting here this morning. When you make a step toward God, he'll make one toward you. Are you listening? Sometimes going home may be a long journey.
Amen.
We all want to think all it takes is one little small effort. No, this boy had to make a journey. He had to start somewhere. He had to put one foot in the other in front of the other and head that direction. Hey, you're in the house of God this morning. You're headed in the right direction. You're hearing the word of God preached. You're hearing the songs of Zion sung. You're headed in the right direction, and the Father's watching for you to come down the road. But I thought about this, and I'm not saying this is doctrine. It's not in the Bible in any way, shape, or form. But this father, just from the context of our story, was a man of means. And I just wonder, being the loving, lingering, looking father that he was, I wonder if he didn't have one of them hired servants watching that boy all along. I put myself in his position, I would. If I had that resource, I would say, hey, don't interfere. Let him do whatever it is he wants to do, but go keep an eye on him. No, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You don't do nothing without God seeing and knowing right where you were. Amen. I wonder how many, if this father might have been getting reports back from a far country. I don't know. It just could have been. But I'm just saying, this morning, you're not lost from God. You know, he knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly the state we're in. Hey, we haven't lost his sight for one second. I'm glad we have a looking father this morning. Sometimes I'm ashamed of what he's looking at. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
But I'm glad I have a looking father.
Amen.
I wonder, is he looking for you this morning?
Amen.
You see, I thought you said he can see me. Is he looking for you to make a step toward him this morning?
Amen.
He's not going to force you. He's not going to hogtie you and say, if you don't get right, if you don't do right, I'm going to kill you. He don't do that. Like some of them jokers on TV make all these crazy statements. If I don't get $10 million, God said he's going to kill me. If I'd have been one of his members, I'd have said, we're going to miss you. Amen. You're going to be sorely missed, brother. You got any thoughts for a replacement? Amen. He is a lingering father. He is a looking father. Now listen to me quickly. I'm trying to hurry. He's a longing father. He's a longing father. I don't know how many mothers and fathers I've talked to over the years who had wayward children or children who were in jail or in prison, and how their heart longed for them. They'd take their whole days off on Sunday and drive some 4 or 5 hours to South Georgia to a penitentiary and sat through across from a thick plated glass with a little grill they talked to or a telephone and sat there and just hold their hand against that glass. And that son or that child on the other side pressed their hand up just to have that little bit of contact. Hey, that parent, there is a parental instinct that has a longing to be with their children.
Amen.
Caroline, our grandbaby, learned to crawl while we were gone. Man, I was in Jamaica. You would think that'd be the last thing on my mind. As soon as church is over, we're putting her in the floor and letting her go. I'm longing. This morning I walked in. Brother Todd was standing there holding her. I just grabbed her and held her. Hey, listen, man, God is longing. He's longing for that relationship and that physical contact. Are you listening? I come in the door last night. Katie wasn't home. She went to a birthday party. As soon as I heard that door open, we ran to the kitchen and got hugs and kisses. Why? We were longing for that affection with our children. Levi came in my office this morning, hugged my neck, said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad." I was longing for that affection from my son. You saw, it's just been a week. They're just my children. Amen. I don't see how some of these people do it where their children live in one state or in one country and they live in another. Oh, I pray for you every day. I want my babies close where I can get my arms around. Let me tell you something. That daddy, the reason he fell on his neck and kissed him, he didn't approach him with a belt or a hickory. Hey, that daddy was longing for the physical relationship with his son. Let me say, Jesus is longing for that physical touch with you this morning. How long's it been since you felt him? You say, "Well, I just don't believe in all this feeling, emotional stuff." Well, never mind. Your elevator's not going all the way to the top floor. Your little ducks is not in a row. All your lights is on, but ain't nobody there. I get tired of being accused of just being, "Oh, that's just a bunch of emotionalism down there." What is an emotion? Emotion shows what you feel inside. So if, whoo, hallelujah, if that's emotionalism, so is this. Argue it. Argue the point. It's all, we're emotional creatures. Amen. Hey, that daddy was longing for that physical touch. Have you ever prayed for the touch of God? "I need to feel your presence." There ought to be some daddies pile up on this altar this morning and say, "God, I need to feel your touch again. Lord, I need my heart to swell. I need my eyeballs to fill up with tears. God, I need to know the joy of the Lord again." David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know what he is longing for? The touch of God.
Amen.
Amen. I bet you when that daddy fell on that boy's neck and started hugging and kissing on him, I bet there was such a relief inside that boy's heart. You ever got away from God and you was ashamed to come back? Somebody talk to me. You didn't even want to come pray the prayer. You just bowed your head like an old wretched sinner that you are. He didn't beat you up. He put his arm around you. Some of you have experienced that like me over and over and over and over again. He was a lingering father. He was a looking father. He was a longing father. But listen, he was a loving father. He was a loving father. Listen, Jesus doesn't love you if. Jesus doesn't love you because. Jesus loves you regardless. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's been days when I did not love the attitude of my son. One time when he was a teenager still at home, and he wasn't long in years before he got where he's bigger than daddy. But he knows better. I'll tie him up in the croaker sack and get a hole handle. He's had a bad day. But he back-mouthed his mama. Oh, I rarely did I ever hear him do that, but I heard him. I done drawed back, boy. I wasn't happy. I wasn't loving what he was doing, but I loved who he was. I don't think the Father in heaven is always pleased with what we're doing. But He loves who we are. We're His children. That mother that sits in a stainless steel stool and talks to her son on a phone, looking through him at a glass, she loves that son as much right there in the depths of his sin, in the depths of his crime and punishment. She loves him as much that day as she did the day that she held him in her arm as a little baby boy. Let me say something to you. Don't let no preacher, don't you let nobody tell you that because of what you've done, you are lesser of a child of God in His eyes. I'm not excusing sin. I'm just saying He loves you. Amen. I grew up hearing preaching all my life. God's going to strike you dead. God's going to... He can. He can. But it hadn't been my experience. Can I show you something? I'm almost done. I want to show you something. This just jumped out at me. Let's see. Where would the boy? Let's see. Verse number 20. The Bible said, talking about the son, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All right, now listen. The son has the first discourse here. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Here's the father's response. But the father said to his servants, stay with me. Look up here real good. Who did the father speak to after the son's confession? He didn't say nothing to the boy. Not a word. Where have you been? Where is all the money? What have you done? That father did not need an excuse. All he needed was the repentant heart of his son. Nothing else mattered. He did not question him one time. He did not even acknowledge what he said. Servant. Father, can you get the picture in your head? They're laying on each other's neck and the boy's crying. Father, I've sinned against God and I've sinned in your sight. Father, please forgive me. Make me as one of your hired servants. Servant. Servant, yes, master, bring the best robe. Bring a ring and put it on his hand. Put some shoes on his feet and kill that calf. We're facing a party. Can you imagine how that boy felt? Seconds ago, he was clothed and filled. But all of a sudden, the nicest robe of his father's house was put around his shoulder. It hid everything he was. To look at that boy, you would have thought homeless, drug addict, crackhead. But oh, when that robe covered all his filthy rags, that ring was placed on his finger, signifying who he was. And shoes were placed on old dirty bare feet. He doesn't look like somebody slopping the hogs. You know what that takes? That takes a loving father. I pray I never have to eat these words, but I can't think of anything my son could do that would cause me to turn my back on him. He could break my heart into a 1,000 pieces. But I'd never, ever be able to say, you're no longer my son. How about it, Dad? I didn't say I'd be proud. I didn't say I'd be pleased. That's my boy. And them's my little girls. Why? Because I love my children. My love for them is far greater than anything they can do. And God's love for you is far greater than anything you could ever do. Just don't ever get the idea. I've gone too far, preacher. I've heard that 1,000 times. Elvis Presley,
sat in a hotel lobby, talked for a few minutes with Dr. Jack Hiles. And Dr. Hiles said, "Elvis, son, are you saved?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Elvis, why don't you come back to God?" He said, "I've gone too far. Gone too far." You ever felt like that? I've gone too far. Too far is not a place. You listen to me. There's no place in God's map or His geography that says too far. If the eyes are of the Lord are in every place, there's not too far for the reaching hand of a loving Father. We just make that step toward Him. One last thing and I'm done. He was a lingering Father, a looking Father. He was a longing Father and a loving Father. But He was a loaded Father. And say it again, He was a loaded Father. That boy getting in his inheritance and leaving didn't break the Father. Are y'all listening? That son taking what was coming to him and leaving and wasting it all in a far country did not knock a dent in the father's coffers. When that boy came home, daddy wasn't sitting there with a pencil and a calculator trying to figure out how they was going to save the farm and pay the bills. When you walk away from the father, you have not lessened his grace one bit. I remember Brother Jonathan always uses this. I don't know if y'all have seen it or not. I can't remember if he's done it here or not. He talks about grace, preaches a message on grace. And he goes to that scripture where it talks about more grace. And Jonathan said he never could figure that out. And he said one day he reached for a Kleenex and he popped it. There was another one. He said, "Wasn't long, he needed another Kleenex." There was another one. He said he was at the church the next week and he needed a Kleenex and he popped. There was another one. Just every time you get one, whoop, there's another one. That's the way it is with the grace of God. That's the way it is when the grace of God, when you receive the grace of God for the sin in your life, when you walk away from God and you walk out of His presence and away from His place, hey, when you come back, there'll be the same amount of grace there was the day you left. We have not done anything to bankrupt the grace of God. It still is real today as it ever was. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought, I wonder if God could forgive me again? Did He last time? It's a fair question. Did He last time? He's a loaded Father. He's got what you need this morning. He's not too often like I was with my children. I've had it up to here. I'm fixing to kill you. No, listen. Sad fact is, God will let you go. I didn't say He'd write you off. I didn't even say He'd take you out of the wheel. But He'll let you go. He'll let you go as far as you possibly want to go. He don't have a leash on you. You've got a wheel. He wants you to love Him because you want to.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. We're going to quit. Is there a time in your life when in here, I'm talking about in your heart, in your mind, it was better than what it is right now? Somebody needs to make a trip. Somebody needs to say, "I will arise and go to my Father. Say, I've sinned against You. Lord, forgive me." You know what? Before you make it to the altar, He'll meet you now. I have a Father who can You may do things and get away from God, and people will never forget it. I know preachers who have messed up. I'm on the radio, I'm going to be careful. But I get around certain circles. If the name Billy Graham comes up, I don't hear about the thousands and thousands that were saved. They don't talk about that, Brother Freddie. They don't talk about the great revival campaigns. That's not the topic of their discussion. All they talk about was he changed Bibles and changed doctrine in a couple of areas. You see, that's the way man is. You can do great good all your life and make one bad mistake, and in the eyes of men, it erases everything you ever did good. Aren't you glad God's not that way? You mess up in this society and try to come back to God, society says, well, you can't anymore. You're on a shelf. God's going to straighten all that out one of these days. If he could forgive me as a sinner, he can forgive me as a saint. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Todd and Ashley, y'all come if you would. Listen, we're going to go home in just a minute. Go spend a little time with Pop. Tell him we love him, appreciate him. But before we do, I just feel like the Lord might want to spend a little time with you before you leave here today. I wonder if before they sing, we could just bow our heads together. Nobody looking around. Listen carefully, I wouldn't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. But I would like to pray for you. If you're here this morning, whether you're a father, mother, son, or daughter, it doesn't matter. But you're here this morning, you say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure I even really know the Father. I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me? If you really can know that you're going to heaven when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart somehow, someday. Please, just remember me. Would you slip up your hand and put it right back down? I won't embarrass you for nothing. How about this? Hey, preacher, I'm not where I used to be. I haven't felt that physical touch of the Lord in a while. Pray I'd get back. Pray I'd make that step and just head toward the Father this morning. God bless your hands already up this morning. Thank you so much. How about this morning, just for our dads? I wonder how many of you dads this morning lift up your hands and say, Brother Eddie, pray for me and allow me to pray for you, that we'll all be the godly leadership for our children that we're supposed to be. And we'll point them in the right direction. How about that? Well, I think that ought to be the prayer of every one of us. Help us lead our children in the right path. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning again in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to thank you for the loving Father you are. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. God, you've been so, so good, Lord. We just bless your holy name. Thank you for what you've done throughout this week. Thank you for what you've done this morning. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord, have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.